You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hi, welcome to the Race to Dubai show, reflecting on Alex Noren winning the H&A Open de France, which came as quite a shock to the Swede.
It feels unreal. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this at all. I wasn't expecting it, you know, last three holes. I was just trying to get somewhere close to a playoff, and then I was very fortunate to end up like this.
Noren was way off the lead going into the final round. So too were Russell Knox and Julian Suri, who both finished runner-up and earned themselves a place at the 147th Open Championship.
You always want to play in the majors, but being in Scotland as a Scot, I mean, definitely don't want to miss that one, especially I've played the last three Open Championships, I think.
Yeah, so that'll be nice. It'll be three more weeks now and a good couple weeks prep of links golf and playing in the British Isles, so yeah.
We'll let you know who else earned a place at Carnoustie, and we'll preview the next Rolex Series event on the Race to Dubai this coming week, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by Jamie Spence, friend to the stars and multi-tour winner and Ryder Cup know-it-all.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. And from the heart as well, I felt.
Yes.
So sincere.
And how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah.
Good.
Weather's great, isn't it? Playing a bit of golf myself, so got the clubs out, hitting a few balls.
Oh, I like
hit
to
the
hear...
odd one out the middle.
I like to hear that.
Only the odd one.
Alex Noren, another victory, another step up the ladder in his career. There's no stopping him.
Doesn't seem to be, does he? He's played some super stuff for the last few years now. Played one on the PGA Tour as well. He's come back here, playing even better. Strange win, you'd have to say. Great weekend, 65-67. But he finishes before everybody else. And we know what that course is like. It's so difficult, the last four holes.
Well, he birdies two of the last three.
It does help.
And, you know, if ever there's a course anywhere where you post a score and you hang on and fancy your chances, it would be Le Golf National.
Certainly would be. Great tee shot hit on the 16. Well, he stiffed it, really, there. But it suits his shot. I always feel that course there suits somebody who fades the ball. And obviously Alex plays that way. I think there's a lot of holes that go that way that suit that shot for me. I mean, you look at 17 and 18, just for example. Fade doesn't get you in trouble there, really. Takes you away from the trouble. And there's a lot of holes around the back nine, I think, that go that way. So not a surprise for me, for Noren to win that. But it was the drama behind him, really, that grabbed all of our attention.
Or carnage, possibly.
It was golfing carnage, because I don't think Alex thought he was going to win that. He thought maybe it might be a sneak of a playoff.
Right.
Maybe I might grab a little bit of it. But I've actually been in that situation myself when Goosen won a few years ago. I finished second, well, a few years ago, 20 years ago. And I was never going to finish second, ever.
Mm.
And everybody just fell into a hole. And it can happen there, because that 15th, when you get onto that tee, ugh.
Well, you start off with the 15th tee shot and you think, if it's into the wind or into off the left and you've got to hit more club down there than you want to, it starts to look like a ribbon, the fairway.
It does, and if you play out too far left, you saw the hay that was there, poor old Marcus, you know, got caught up in that in the last group, couldn't get it out.
It's a hole you just can't bail out.
Just got to hit the fairway. Just got to hit the fairway. And then where the flag tucked on the right-hand side, hitting the greens in effort as well.
But didn't Marcus Kinnock play some wonderful stuff?
He did, yeah. Played some super stuff. It just didn't go his way yesterday. Just hit a few poor shots and really got punished for them.
And he had a triple in the fourth.
That doesn't help, does it?
You know, when you're starting off, you start quite nicely and then bang, a triple bogey at the fourth hole.
Yeah, and he had a great start Saturday and he just wandered along, didn't he? But then suddenly when you hit with that, you're back in the pack and it's a fight.
Julian Suri's going to be kicking himself.
Yeah, well, he got away with his tee shot on the last.
Yep.
And you could tell his indecision on the fairway, I felt. I mean, he was quite a long way back, over 200 yards. That flag on the left-hand side as well, and, well, he just didn't catch it, did he? He's not the first.
No.
He's not the first.
No, there's a lot of people that have and will mess up that final hole.
Yeah.
It's a converted par five. It used to be a par five in old money.
It was fun par five.
Do you know, it was a fun par five.
It was,
and there's no reason why it couldn't be again, because...
Yeah. You made four and you're quite happy. You made five. Oh, well, that's not too bad.
You haven't dropped a shot.
Yeah, but now people make five. It's not so good. Or six. The thing is with that hole, you can't take too much club to take the water out, because it's all lurking at the back of the green as well. You can go bounding through very easy. We've seen it quite a few players. Justin Thomas, for example, chipped off the bridge.
Amazing with that finish.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
So it's just a demanding second shot. You can have some fun there in September.
Chris Wood again, couple of mistakes in the last few holes. That cost him dearly.
Yeah, well, I text you, didn't I? Yeah. I thought it'd be between, you know, with an hour to go, I thought it'd be between Wood and Knox. And Woody just made a couple of bogeys at the end there. But, I mean, he hit an iron off the last. He had 210 to go and he hit into the bunker, got up and down. So, good second place for Woody. Runner-up in Oman early in the season. So,
yeah, he's had a patchy old season, isn't he?
Yeah, it seems to be very hit or very miss.
Yeah.
And at the moment it's hit. But he did change his coach a few months ago, and I think that takes a bit of time just to bed in, to feel that confidence and have that true confidence when you're in contention or trying to make a cut or whatever it is.
And Matthew Southgate and Russell Knox both carding 65s in the final round. That'll do it around there if you want to make a big jump and come from a kind of mediocre position to somewhere close to the lead.
Fill your boot up with cash, Rob, isn't it? You shoot 65 in a Rolex event on a Sunday. Yeah, Russell Knox is a very impressive player, very controlled player, very good putter. Doesn't hit the ball that far, but you don't need to round Le Golf National. And Matthew Southgate, he seems to come to form this time of the year. He's played very well in Open Championships. Someone to keep your eye on, Matthew Southgate, over the next month or so.
It's the second time that Alex Noren has won a Rolex Series event. He won the very first one, the 2017 BMW Championship, with what I thought was the shot of the year, the 4-iron into that hole, and he makes an eagle.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
Oh.
Precision, and that's what his game's all about, that iron play. He's improved his driver this year. He said that at the end of last year, they needed to improve the driver. He only had one shot with it, really. And he's been working on hitting that straighter, longer ball, which I've seen from him this year as well. But I just love his putting. If anyone wants to putt cross-handed, just have a look at him and copy it, because it just doesn't look like it's going to break down. Ball goes, sets off on target every single time.
Have you shaken hands with Alex Noren?
Yes, yeah, quite a few times.
And
yeah.
How thick would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 are the calluses?
Well, yeah, they are.
They're practicing.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Like, you get splits on that right index finger.
He did social media pictures of them one day, mm-hmm. didn't he? And it's like iron. The skin in his hands are like iron from all the practice. He's an amazing golfer and another Rolex Series event for Alex Noren. Let's hear from the delighted winner, who knows he was very fortunate still just to be competing over the weekend.
Maybe didn't play great the first 2 days, but managed to, you know, make the cut just by one shot. And then the weekend I played a lot better, you know, had a lot of chances. I just, you know, managed to hit it a lot better off the tee the last 2 days than the first 2 days. And around here, you can't miss fairways. You know, it's so tough. And once you're on the green, they're like somewhat flattish and not extremely difficult, but to get on it, it's a tough part. So probably the best ball striking weekend for a long time. Yeah, making birdie 16, 17 is something I always wanted to do, you know, when you really need it. And then to pull it off, I felt really happy. Yeah.
And so he should. It was an amazing finish. When other players were costing themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars and pounds and euros over the last couple of holes, he birdied two of the last three. That really says it all. It was Alex Noren's 10th European Tour victory and his first since the BMW PGA Championship last year. And he moves up to second in the Race to Dubai standings from eighth. So that's a big leap. Now, English golfer Paul Waring and Mr. Cut in Paris said on his Twitter account about Noren, the hardest working guy on tour, from injury to one of the world's best, I think. Maybe. Beckham has been replaced. Alex Noren is now my new man crush.
He's allowed that.
You've got to look at the world through Paul's eyes, through his lenses, and that's what he says.
I think the thing here is Paul Waring's had a few injuries here, so he's looking at what Alex has achieved after threatening injuries to his wrist.
Absolutely.
Paul's had a similar thing,
yeah.
So good on him.
Who's your man crush?
You, Rob.
Thank you. I knew you were going to say that. I was going to say you, so that gets us out.
There you go.
Either puts us in jail or gets us out of jail, one of the two. Ryder Cup captain Thomas Bjorn, who's always tweeting these days, he's never off it. He said, a man for Sundays. Well done, Alex Noren. 10 victories on tour. And Thomas LeVay tweeted, bravo, Alex Noren Golf. Great playing at the French Open. See you in September for the Ryder Cup. Paris is waiting for you. Now, the rest of the leaderboard. Three players qualified to play at the 147th Open Championship at Carnoustie. One of those was Julian Suri, but that qualification was scant reward for the American when he spoke after his final round, which ended with that double bogey, which blew his chances of winning.
I mean, you know, I kind of just threw away the tournament there with that second shot. But to be honest, like I was kind of losing my swing the last probably six holes or so. And to kind of gut it out and only be two over on those last five, you know, I guess I can come away with that knowing I can grind it out. But, you know, compared to the way I hit it yesterday, today wasn't up to par and I kind of just scored a lot better. The wind was down. And overall, you know, it was a positive week. It's a tough course, but it stings pretty good right now.
Yeah, Julian wasn't best pleased there, but it's understandable when you do that at the very last hole, the 72nd hole, and you cost yourself a chance of winning. But he had to say this about the Golf National ahead of September's Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it'll be great. Obviously, match play, it's going to be different than stroke play with the risk reward stuff and probably the setup. But for me, it's an awesome track. And I think, you know, the harder it plays, the better. And I don't know, maybe I'm a cynic or whatever, but it's pretty great. It's one of the best I've ever played. So it should be a great venue.
I've, in my time, Jamie, not come across anybody who doesn't like Le Golf National.
I have. I love it. When I was working with Tommy for a couple of years, Tommy Fleetwood, he didn't like it. I think he does now. He won last year.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So there are courses that you don't quite maybe get or that you not, as you say, don't play very well, but they grow on you because this is a great golf course. And Julian Suri there said it's awesome. He's right, it is awesome. Only player to break par every round, by the way, Julian Suri. 70-70, 69-69, good playing from Suri. The Harry Connick Jr. lookalike, by the way.
Just what?
Yes, he is. Do you have a look?
No chance.
Yeah, he is.
No chance.
Yes, he is.
Memphis
Belle. I know you like Harry.
I do. Harry Connick Jr. was in Memphis Belle. Do you remember that movie?
He's a great singer. Forget that. Yeah, he's a good singer.
Yeah, very good singer. Yeah. Well, he finished second. It was costly.
No, unfortunately, in golf, you always look what you could have had.
You do, especially when it's at the end.
And you always look at shots you've missed. You forget. He said he didn't strike the ball so well yesterday, so he obviously got up and down a lot. The putter worked for him. Unfortunately, his poorest shot of the day happened on the last.
But in the end, he had a fine week and finished second alongside Chris Wood. And the man we're going to speak to now, Russell Knox, 65 in the final round, gets him a lot of ranking points for this year's Ryder Cup inclusion and, of course, a spot in the Open. Russell, you must be delighted with your performance. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. A little tired today, but it was definitely nice to finish strong yesterday in France.
How tricky was the golf course in the final round?
Well, I mean, I obviously shot my best round of the week, so it wasn't that bad. But it's a very high-stress course. I mean, there's a lot of high-stress shots you have to hit. There's a lot of danger out there, a lot of water, obviously. So, I was fortunate. I was off quite a bit before the leaders, so I had less stress and anticipation, I guess, than they had at the end. So I was able to just kind of plow through my round and get on with it and post quite a good score.
You birdie 14 to go 6-under for your round. You're still a few behind at that point. Can you just explain to our listeners, what's it like stepping onto that 15th tee at Paris National right in the thick of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know with four holes to go, if you're going to move up the board, you're going to have to hit some very good shots. I mean, you're going to have to hit the fairway 15, 17 and 18 to have a chance of a birdie or even to make an easy par. So I was able to hit the 15th fairway every day, and with 15, 16, and 18 all just kind of surrounded by water, I mean, you have to definitely hit the middle of the club face or else you're in for big trouble.
Was this your first French Open at Le Golf National?
No, I played last year, but I was miserable, so I improved significantly last year.
So when you're playing the golf course, you obviously saw it last year, and now you competed well on it this year. Do you sort of, and I know you're chasing one of these spots down, do you sort of project ahead and think what it might look like with 55,000 people hunkered around that sort of stadium that's the last four holes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a truly amazing Ryder Cup venue. I mean, there's going to be a lot of matches decided kind of 15, 16 area. And I mean, that's right next to the clubhouse. And I mean, I imagine there's just going to be massive stands and massive people there. I mean, it's going to be some theater there. I mean, the whole course is perfect for stadium golf. I mean, there's a lot of mounds surrounding fairways, easy for spectators to see. The atmosphere come September is going to be electrifying.
And what about that 18th hole? Russell, we saw quite a few people taking driver off the tee, trying to take it on, a few hitting iron. How do you see that hole?
I mean, for me, it's perfect. It was a perfect driver on Sunday. It was pretty much 300 to the water straight ahead. And I don't hit it quite as manly as most, so I was able to just chip a little driver down there perfectly, just short of the water. So it worked out well for me, but it's all you want on an 18th hole. I mean, it's about as hard an 18th hole as I've ever seen. Obviously, water left, and I mean, if you hit it in the rough on the right or the bunkers, I mean, you're just not going to hit the greens. And then, of course, the green is, I mean, not an island, but it's obviously almost an island, and water over, water short. I mean, it's a tough finishing hole. I mean, when I hit the fairway, I was very pleased, and when I made good contact and got on the green in two, I was also very happy. So it's kind of a good stress reliever when you know that you've hit two good shots.
So Russ, you finished second. Big points for that, Ryder Cup-wise and Race to Dubai-wise. You're in Ireland right now, so you're going to play the Irish. You have to play the Scottish, and then you're in the Open. So that's one busy month.
Yeah, I'm going to hit golf, I think, after the Open Championship. I've played a lot, to be honest. I mean, even before this week, I played the Travelers Championship and US Open over in the States. And I had 1 week off, and I played 3 weeks before that. So I'm definitely going to be running on fumes coming into this trip. But it's also my life. It's my job. I mean, I have to be ready to play. And I mean, I'm loving my golf, obviously playing well. So I just have to hammer down and try and do the best I can.
Iron Man Knox, they're going to call you after this, Russell. Now, you're playing three links courses in a row. You must know Gullen, I would think, pretty well, and Carnoustie. Which out of the three you're really looking forward to? And maybe you're looking forward to all three, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm looking forward to all three. I mean, huge events. Ballyliffin looks amazing on the website there. I'll make it out there tomorrow or Wednesday, obviously. But, I mean, the Scottish Open is obviously a huge highlight for me. And I played well at Gullen last time the tournament was held there. And, I mean, being a Scot, obviously getting into the Open Championship in Scotland is obviously massive. So, I mean, out of the three courses, I mean, I know Gullen the best. I mean, I played Carnoustie a few times, but definitely not as many as maybe some people think I would have played it. But I'll figure it out, and I'll be ready to rumble. And hopefully one of these next few weeks I can play a little bit better than last week.
Well, in Tiger speak, Russell, in Tiger speak, make sure you pick up a W in the next few weeks, and then we'll be talking to you again as a player who's looking forward to going back to the course where you played so well on Sunday. That is Le Golf National in September. Thank you very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. We'll talk to you very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
He's saying all the right things there, Jamie. Russell Knox, I know it's a very busy schedule. It's a lot of golf to play. It's made a lot easier when you're playing well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but you're right. It's a lot of golf, isn't it? So he's going to have to take some downtime at some point, maybe on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Well, just today, get away, for instance.
Just get away from it, just for a day. Just
today?
Put your clubs away. Yeah, for today.
He's already travelled to Ireland.
Well, I think it's a very smart move, travelling the same night so you can get there and have that Monday of doing nothing, sorting out your laundry, whatever you want to do, read a book. Three links courses in a row, that's tough.
There's no doubt the toughest one is right at the end, Carnoustie, or Carnasty, as they call it.
But Ballyliffin looks spectacular.
Looks beautiful, doesn't it?
It does.
Worth noting that the other player to qualify for the Open Championship was Marcus Kinnelt of Sweden, only 21 years of age, and he said, "I played the Amateur Championship at Carnoustie in 2015, so I know the course, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it." And when he takes it all in the round, the whole week into context, it was a good week for him.
Secured his card. Right up there. It's very unusual for players to come into a big tournament like this and just win off the bat.
Yeah.
You've got to go through that sort of process of things not going your way in a final round when you're really under pressure. And I thought he coped with it admirably. As I say, he's got that open spot and he's played the Amateur Championship. That really helps. He's played competitive rounds on that golf course. He'll know the lies off the tee. He'll know where the bunkers are. Very, very important. The rough will be a bit thicker, by the way, Marcus, when you play it in a few weeks' time. But yeah, very good, promising young Swede.
Definitely. And Sergio Garcia, 64 on Saturday, 10 more on Sunday.
Mm.
He had chances.
We had a chance at the last hit in the bunker, didn't he? He had to go with it out of that bunker. I wouldn't have fancied that, but he had to take it on. Him and Rahm both missing the fairway. I'd like to have seen them both hit the fairway.
And then
see what happened. I think we were all hoping for that, but wasn't to be. And Sergio, I've been in those bunkers. We had a look, and they put a couple of new bunkers in for the Ryder Cup. Thomas has instructed them to do that. If you get in the middle of them, you do have a sneak, but you need a really good lie.
It would have to be a mint lie.
It's got to be sitting right there for you because you can pick it with a 7 or a 6, possibly. But, I mean, it's a 1 in 20 shot.
Top 10 from the H&A Open de France, please, Jamie.
Well, tied 8th. Good to see him over. Justin Thomas with Sergio Garcia. Jorge Campillo continuing his fine season. And Alexander Bjork, 5th. Place, Matthew Southgate, John Rahm and Marcus Kinnelt. Runner-up, three of them, Russell Knox, Julian Suri and Chris Wood. And our champion again is Alex Norren.
Now, the tournament we're playing all year, predictions-wise, is presenter versus co-presenter. So in my absence, Dan Roebuck has let the side down. He went for Torbjørn Erlesen, miscut, loses 5 points.
Not the first time.
There's more to come. Max Kiefer missed the cut. Minus 5 points. So he's taken 10 points off my score.
Oh, dear.
Ewan Murray, in your chair last week, went for Tyrrell Hatton. He finished 16th. Justin Thomas finished 8th. 10 points.
What a good judge.
So there's a 20-point swing. You see how it can change?
Yes.
How dramatic it is, how you have to tune into this podcast every week
it could
to
change,
keep up.
It will change further this week.
So the total for the year so far means that the presenters have 105 points and the co-presenters now have 40.
Most of them coming from Roebuck, is that right?
Most of the minuses. Most of the minuses coming from Roebuck, yeah. And he's very good at it.
He is.
He's very good at it. He's consistent.
Yes.
We're always looking for consistency in
this
game.
How was your fantasy team, Rob?
I had Campillo, I had Sergio, and I had Alex Noren.
Oh, yeah, I had Noren. All my six made the cut, and I had Fitzpatrick as my captain. I thought he would do much better.
I had Thomas Peters as my captain.
Did you? Very, very good.
But he didn't.
But we're not at the top of the leaderboard, are we?
No, we're not. No. Marco Mannucci is top of the overall global standings, while Andrew Dice got the most points last week. In the Race to the Dubai Show Mini League, Chris Coles is now top after gaining the most points from the H&A Open de France with Alex Noren as captain. Top 10, please, Jamie, in the Race to the Dubai standings.
Well, in 10th is John Rahm, another Spaniard in 9th, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Tyrrell Hatton is 8th, Torbjørn Ulleson 7th, Kiridek Afibarmrat at 6th, Rory is at 5, Francesco Molinari, more about him in a minute, at 4, Tommy Fleetwood at 3, Alex Noren's moved up to number 2, and Patrick Reed is still the number 1.
And now the Ryder Cup rankings, because this is going to be volatile over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's changing, because it was 1.5 now. In the European rankings, the top 4 are Hatton is number 1, Rose number 2, Tommy Fleetwood number 3, and Molinari number 4. Then we skip on to the world's list. We go to John Rahm, Alex Noren, Rory McIlroy and Paul Casey. That's a strong 8. Very strong 8.
Yeah, it's a strong 8. The captain will be pleased with that. And he can add whoever he wants. You and I plus 2 more. And that's his team.
We'll have a game.
That's his team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in other news, as it was mentioned, Francesco Molinari won his first PGA Tour title, shooting a 62 in the final round of the Quicken Loans National at the TPC Potomac. The Italian cruised to victory, winning by 8 strokes, which shows it's much easier to win on the PGA Tour than the European Tour. He began the final round level with Mexico's Abraham Ansah, but his faultless round, 6 birdies and an eagle for a 62 to win from American Ryan Armour, was incredible. He is now, like Justin Rose was in the final round, a colonial. It is Francesco Ben Hogan Molinari.
He's just stepped up a bit, hasn't he? This year, really. I think he's put a little bit of length on. He's certainly grown some confidence and definitely some belief. He's obviously holding a few more putts as well.
Yep.
But I just think his long game has stepped up a notch. And 62 last round when you're leading is very impressive after his PGA win. And
second in Italy.
Played great in Italy. I was right there with him in Italy, walking the fairways. What a cheer that was. That was a cheer when he held that putt on the last, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a cheer and a half. That reverberated down the fairway.
Well, I mean, they've got some fine young players, but he does fly the flag for Italy, Francesco Molinari. And, of course, they are, after Le Golf National, the next home host.
Yep.
They're going to be in Rome, so that he's going to be a big part of that.
He's going to be. And I know going back over to the States rather than playing these Rolex events, and he's not earning any Ryder Cup points for this, by the way, was a bit of a risk for Francesco, but he wanted to prove himself over there, and he's done it.
He certainly did. Now, afterwards, Molinari admitted he's getting used to going on a roll in the final round.
Last year at the USPGA at Quail Hollow, I went, I think, birdie 11, 12, 14, 15. So it does happen. Obviously, it's different if you're already leading the tournament. It separates you from the field. And, you know, a month ago I went, it was a bit shaky. It was the end. So it was nice to play the last couple of holes with a bigger margin.
That, I probably imagine, is the best round of golf he's ever played. You don't often shoot 62 from the lead.
And of course you
don't. Because you're trying to do enough to stay in front. You don't go out there and shoot 62 and destroy everybody. And that's what he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and it was a good field as well. Good point, Rob. No one put him under pressure like they did at Wentworth, maybe. And you made a point to me off air about the part that Rory had at the 18th at Wentworth.
Yeah.
That had gone in. Would Francesco hold his 5-footer? We could be looking at
a different... We'll
never know. We'll never know. But it wasn't to be. He won the event. He's played that course at Wentworth fantastically well over the years. But, yeah, he's going to look back at this victory in the States as probably a defining moment in his career. It's not easy to win in the States. Look at all the great players that have gone over there. They don't win that often over there.
And Tiger Woods had another good week. You know, the comeback is well and truly underway. Hasn't had the win yet, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, again, he's 66 on Sunday and he shot 65 on Friday. So it's just great to see him back. Whether we expect too much of him...
I think we do.
Well, people do. I don't, because I think it's amazing he's actually playing and competing.
I think he thinks that.
I think it's amazing that he's competing. The game's moved on, I think, over the last 4 years. Look at the world rankings. We're going to come into, you know, we're going to come to them in a sec, but the world rankings, there's so many top players now.
Well, Jamie, you mentioned the world rankings. Let's have the top 10.
Well, Robert, Molinari moves up to 16 and Norah moves up to 14. I think we need to say that. Top 10, however, is Tommy Fleetwood. Number 9, Jason Day. Rory McIlroy's at 8. Ricky Fowler at 7. Spieth is at 6. Rahm is at 5. Brooks Koepka at 4. Justin Rose, 3. Justin Thomas, 2. Dustin Johnson, 1. 9 Europeans in the top 20 and 8 Americans.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, very strong.
Pretty strong. Now, on the Challenge Tour, they may have been knocked out of the World Cup, but there was some success for Denmark on Sunday. Jochen B. Hansen became the first Danish champion of the Made in Denmark Challenge, presented by Ina Hessel, as he won by 5 shots to claim his second European Challenge Tour title of the season. Also, at Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort, it was announced that Made in Denmark, one of the most popular tournaments on the European Tour schedule, has secured its place on the Race to Dubai until 2023. Well done. The agreement also sees the tournament's prize fund rise significantly to €3 million, with the winner in August next year at Himmerland pocketing €500,000. That's great news.
Fantastic, yeah.
That is Himmerland. That's the little 15th, 16th par 3.
16th.
The Madness par 3.
Yeah, mad. Yeah. You get about...
Oh, it's fantastic.
8 or 9,000 people.
Yeah.
It's at Thomas Bjorn's golf course, Sukerborg, this year.
That's right.
And then we're going... I think we're
back to Himmerland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this week, of course, it is the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation, in a new venue for the European Tour, Ballyliffin. And it is the most northerly links on the island of Ireland.
Yes. Two links golf courses. Spectacular bit of coastline, spectacular courses, quite isolated.
Well, it's the 4th of 8 Rolex Series events on this year's European Tour schedule, and an event that's developed a reputation of drawing in huge crowds. Almost 80,000 people attended last year at Port Stewart, where John Rahm won by 6 shots. That was impressive. But it all kicks off on Wednesday with a Pro-Am, and these are always fun to play. I know you love Pro-Ams, Jamie. You were sort of they used to call you Pro-Am King.
Your point is?
I don't know. I just remember you saying, God, I'm looking forward to my
Pro-Am. I'd like to play with Tony McCoy, who's playing. Another Arsenal fan.
And horses.
A great jockey. Well,
you've got horses and Arsenal.
I love horse racing.
What's the dream setting?
And Tony McCoy was the greatest. Shay Given, James Nesbitt, Brian McFadden, Keith Duffy. You like a sing-song, don't you?
I do like a sing-song, yeah.
Keith Wood, great Irish rugby player. Stephen Ferris again, great rugby player. And Dennis Taylor.
World champion.
Pot the red, then screw back.
For the yellow, green, brown, blue, pink and black.
That's it,
yeah. And, of course, a lot of Irish footballers and Gaelic footballers are going to be taking part as well.
So, yeah, a great day.
And there's always a great atmosphere in Ireland.
Always. The crowds there. Whenever you drove in, I remember playing Portmarnock, these sort of places.
When it used to be the Carroll's Irish Open, you got 40 cigarettes on the first tee, which your caddy went, thank you, took those off you. The crowds at Royal Dublin and Portmarnock back in the day were like mini Open championships.
They were, yeah,
that's how big they were. And we're starting to see that again in Ireland. The crowds are coming back. And
they love their golf.
They love their golf, they love their sport, and they love the crack. What else is there? And what about Rahm's win last year? How good was he?
Phenomenal, wasn't he? The weather wasn't great. Played brilliantly.
He
held that iron shot from the middle of the fairway, and I can't think what hole it was, but it was a pivotal point of the tournament. It sort of came to European prominence, would that be fair to say, winning that event? I know we all knew all about him, but it sort of thrust him into our front of our minds, really, Rahm, when he won.
Well, he's there for good now, isn't he?
You know he's there for good. And,
he's there for good.
It's great to see him come back.
Rory won in 2016. I remember the finish he had at the K Club.
Wow, that was
I mean, the two shots he hit onto the par 5, 16th, and then the 5 at the last.
Brilliant. Two brilliant wood shots for Rory. Let's hope he can produce some of that magic this year.
Well, he missed the cut last year.
Yeah.
And
when
your foundation, dinners, hosting, glad handing, all that sort of stuff, and you've got to play some golf with probably not as much sleep as you would have wanted, it's not easy. So let's hope he's right in there this year. And a lot of money is raised for the foundation because people benefit from that.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
Now, based on the 3 events that have taken place this year, what impact do you think the Rolex Series is having on people's performances? Do you think they're upping it?
I think people are planning for these events.
Right.
Well, Russell Knox would not have come over and played in these three events had they not been Rolex events. I also think the addition of the 1.5 points for Ryder Cup is a huge factor in that as well. Matthew Fitzpatrick, for example, coming over and playing in these as well. He wants to play in America. He wants to play both.
But do you think
same
it gives you
Cabrera Bayo?
Yeah, but do you think it gives you a bit of a?
They're already in everyone's psyche now. People are talking about the Rolex series, the Rolex events. They're becoming big events in their own right. Each individual one, it makes a huge difference for the players. It's a fantastic
initiative. See, that's what I'm trying to get
to. Well, it is. Torbjörn Olesen, have a chat with him.
Right. So the Cabrera Bayos and the Molinaris and the Roses and the guys who split their time between the PGA Tour and the European Tour, that all those, the Rolex Series events and PGA Tour events, they're all kind of money wise pretty similar. That's not a thing for them. But for the rank and file on the European Tour, you get to a Rolex Series event. That's the bit I'm interested in. Do you think, next week's a Rolex Series event?
Oh, of course.
Right, okay.
And when we're in our day, yeah, the Lancome Trophy was something to get into because it was big money. It was a limited field and the Volvo Masters at the end of the year. You wanted to get into that. If you got into that, you knew you had a good year. Plus, it was a good week money-wise. That has gone up tenfold with these events.
And there's more of them.
There's more of them.
Yeah.
But you take a Matt Wallace, who's already won three times over a calendar year. He's playing fantastic. He knows this opportunity. He has one. But look at Callum Chinquin, his best mate. Last year. Should
have won it.
It's one of those, a player out of that list is going to win one of these. Suddenly, they're thrust into all sorts of calculations.
See, that's what I think.
And possibilities.
That is exactly what I think. I think
Lucas Bjerregaard, Paul Dunn. Paul Dunn's been quite quiet, I think.
Marcus Kinnell, if he'd won last week. You know, just Julian Suri, if he'd won last week.
All these players, you know, I say Paul Dunn, Lucas Bjerregaard, they could thrust themselves right into the front of that Ryder Cup team with a win in one of these events. And why not?
Lynx Golf, are we looking for a certain type of player to do well? Does everybody play well in Lynx courses, or is it certain types of players?
Well, it seems to be certain type of players, but it's a very weather-based. We had a very dry time of it in the UK, British Isles, Ireland for the last 6 weeks, really. So the course is going to be running, you'd think, running hard and fast.
Do you know what I'd like to happen this week?
But it doesn't necessarily mean it's easier, because the ball will be running into the bunkers and the rough and this, that and the other.
I'd like it to be windy and Rory to play well. Because everybody says when it's windy, you can take Rory out of the equation. Mm. And I just don't believe that.
I don't get that, really.
I don't get that. There's a guy who grew up in Ireland playing in Irish weather conditions.
He's played in
and then people say he can't play in the wind. How is that possible? So I'd like it to be windy and Rory to win. That's what I'd like.
That'd be nice, yeah. I'd go along with that, Robert. But the higher ball hitters, you'd think, would be at a disadvantage if he gets windy.
Look,
your lower ball flight, like your Brandon Grace, who we all know hits that low running ball flight, he always plays.
That's his natural game.
That's his natural game. He plays well in these conditions.
Jack used to hit the ball through the sky. Tiger used to hit the ball through the sky. But they could adjust when they came to play windy conditions.
Yeah,
they could
and
adjust.
I look down the list and there's a Rory can adjust. Host of players who can adjust. And all of these players play well all over the world. So it just depends how you're playing that week.
Okay. Picks-wise.
Picks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going. Do I get first too?
You get first dibs, and of course, just to remind everybody, you pick somebody outside last year's top 50, and anyone else you want.
Rahm, coming here as defending champion, couldn't hit his driver last week. I think about it this week. That's his weapon of choice. Yeah, I fancy Rahm here. I'm tempted with my second choice to go for Paul Dunn. I don't know whether playing at home might put more expectation on him. So I'm just going to.
But you're putting yourself off that now, aren't you?
I am.
You are putting yourself off.
No, I've been tipping. There's one guy I keep tipping, and I'm going to stick with him because whenever I go off them, they play well.
I mean, you were chatting to Russell Knox. You were thinking of tipping him.
I was. Yeah. I maybe the way he was talking about Gullen. He knows that very well, and it's obviously
he's
played well there last year.
You're keeping it back. I see what you're doing.
I'm going to tip Andy Sullivan again. I just. Been following him. He's been playing very consistently. Played well again last week. You know, I keep saying
he's there. But you're right. He's there, thereabouts. It is there.
It's close.
And he could with a big week again. Another one of those guys. Big week. All of a sudden, the Ryder Cup's on,
and he'll be right in there. So there's my two, Rahm and Sullivan. What about you?
I've already talked up what I'd like to see. I'd love it to be windy and Rory to win. So I'm going to go with the host and my plus 50 shooter from last year. I'm going to go for. Because Molinari is generally accepted as being one of the best ball strikers from tee to green, and perhaps the putting doesn't behave itself as well as it might, it did last week, and when he pulls it all together, it's almost you can't see anyone beating him. I'm going to go for someone who plays in a similar way, Andrew the Beef Johnson. His putter doesn't behave itself as well as it might. If he has a good putting week, I think Andrew can have a good crack at this.
Good striker, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good striker. Mm. And his game is built around finding fairways, finding greens. And in tricky conditions up in the north end of Ireland, it might just suit him down to the ground. So
yeah, I go along with that. And Matt Southgate, who we played well in France, he plays well in links golf as well.
Yes, we've seen that in open championships, haven't we? Mm. Excellent stuff, Jamie. That is it for now. Next week, we will look back at the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation and look ahead to the next Rolex Series event, the Aberdeen Standard Investments Scottish Open. Before that, you can stream or download the brand new podcast from the European Tour called Life on Tour. The series features in-depth interviews with some great characters. Episode 1 is with Luke Donald, and Episode 2 is with the inimitable Billy Foster and John McLaren. Both are available now on Acast, and you can also subscribe through the podcast app on your iPhone. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
John Rahm and Andy Sullivan.
And I've gone for Rory McIlroy and Andrew the Beef Johnson. We'll see you next week.